Welcome to another C3 Church Rockingham podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au.
So today we are celebrating and honouring fathers. And I understand for today that for some of us there are mixed emotions here. There's different emotions flowing through people's lives when it comes to Father's Day and Mother's Day, in particular today, Father's Day. Like mine, maybe your father is no longer with us today. Or maybe there's other things that have caused pain in your life. And so I don't want to be insensitive to that, but I do want to talk about the power of fatherhood and the blessing that flows in honouring our two fathers. It's very important that we understand that we are honouring two fathers here today. Two fathers. And there are three primary reasons why we honour our fathers. And the first one, which is many would know, we honour our fathers because it's actually a command from God. It's a command by God. Honouring our fathers is not just for today, but it's actually every day of our lives. In Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the fact that it's a command. He says, I command you to honour your father and mother. It is the first promise that we were given, that we will be blessed if we honour our parents. He said that we'll live well and we'll have a long life. This is the first commandment with a promise. It's an Old Testament and New Testament promise. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 16, it also says that. So when you honour your mother and father, there's no if they will treat you well. If they are around, we honour them regardless. It's a command by God. Secondly, we honour our fathers by giving them respect. That's a good word, isn't it? See, respect meets our father's needs and actually motivates them to do well. Respect is a man's mega need. Of all the needs men have, the greatest need is respect. It's so powerful that it will actually change his behaviour to the person who's actually giving it. See, criticism to a man is like kryptonite. Wow. And honour to a man is like oxygen. Yes. Getting that superhero thing in here, right? It's kryptonite to a man when we criticise them. And children and wives, what motivates a man is when you give them more respect than they actually deserve. When you honour your father, even when he doesn't deserve it, it motivates him to do better. But criticism will wound a man. As wives and as children, God gave men the need for respect and gave children the command to honour their fathers. And together, honour and respect is actually very powerful. Not just today, but every day. Third reason, and this is really what I want us to just look into more. The reason why we honour fathers is that honour, when we honour the God-ordained institution of fatherhood in our society, which is under attack. Marriage is under attack. The way we discipline our children is under attack in our society, and so is fatherhood under attack. And if you're a man who takes your role as a father or grandfather seriously, I want to honour you for taking the God-ordained institute of fatherhood seriously. You are the salt and light to society. Amen? See, the role of a father is so important, it shapes the family unit. That's why fatherhood is under attack. See, anyone can have a baby. Being a father is not just about a biological status. It's about how a father chooses to raise his children in a way that honours his heavenly father. See, nothing is manlier than a man that knows how to lead his home. Yeah. Nothing is manlier. That's why God chose Abraham. He knew that Abraham would instruct his children and his household in the righteous ways of the Lord. And that's why he called him Abba Father. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 17, it talks about this. In the Message paraphrase, it says it this way. Then God said, Abraham is going to become a large and strong nation. All the nations of the world are going to find themselves blessed through him. Yes, I have settled on him as the one to train his children and future family. Notice that, future family. To observe God's way of life, live kindly, and generously and fairly, so that God can complete in Abraham what he promised him. See, Abraham was not just a man of faith, but he was a faithful man. He obeyed and carried out the instructions of the Lord. And by being a living example, he taught his children to obey the Lord. See, God through Abraham was raising up a lineage of sons and daughters, the next generation that would love and serve him. It wasn't just for this generation, it was for the next generation. Because from one generation to the next, we shall declare God's faithfulness. In Psalm 45, verse 16, in the New Living Translation, it says, "Your sons will become kings like their father. You will make them rulers over many lands." How powerful is that? Now, I've paraphrased this. This is Carolyn's paraphrase. I've said it this way, and it's in context. Your children will become kings and queens because of how they are fathered. Fathers, you will empower them to rule and reign, take dominion and prosper in every area in their life. How cool is that? See, your children will do what you do, not what you say. We know this. What walks in fathers will run in children. So, fathers, be a good king. Amen? Yeah. Be a great king. And wives, if you treat your husband like a king, he's going to treat you like a queen. Come on. Your daughters will follow suit. And that's why fathers, the power of fatherhood is so powerful. You're training them in life. You're training them to reign in life. You're shaping your children for their assignment and their destiny. Fatherhood is so powerful. And there is nothing more manlier, if there's any word as that, nothing more manlier than a good dad. Isn't it wonderful to see a good dad? And see, one of the key responsibilities for a father is to develop sexually a healthy child, healthy children. And sadly, the school education and society has more to say about that than parents and even the church. They're teaching our children to understand sexuality, sexual orientation, and all the related complexities, including birth control and prevention of sexual transmitted diseases. But it's from their opinion and perspective and not from a holistic approach. Fathers and mothers need to be the louder voice when it comes to these matters, like what about consent and healthy boundaries? What about love and marriage? How about all the emotions that are related to it? What does God say? The one that created you, male and female. Now, whilst the foundations of our Christian morals, values, and principles are the same, you know, for a father, raising up a son and daughter is actually quite different in some things, because boys and girls are different. Wow! But we are shaping them to be adult men and women. And so I'm going to read these out because there are too many to really just hone into, but I want to read these out. And if you want the notes, then I'll make sure that I can get them to you. But there are 10 basic needs a daughter needs from a father. And I kind of got that from the from that movie, you know, there's 10 things I hate about you. Well, there's 10 things we love about our father and what we need from our father. Number one, know that from day one, she or they will always be your little girl. But you have to put in the effort to keep it that way. So take her on daddy-daughter dates, and separately if you've got more than one. Number two, talk to her mum like an equal, not an inferior, and she'll someday expect the same. Compliment her often. Compliment her mother often. Fathers, if you want your daughter to marry a good husband, then it starts with how you love and treat your wife. Number three, have fun and have inside jokes with each other. Trust me, she'll remember them forever. My daughter's vouched for that. Number four, encourage her to achieve her best and go for it, that there's no limits to what God wants to do in and through her. And despite being a woman, she can achieve them all. Amen? Number five, make her promises and then keep them. The only heartbreak in her life should come from others who don't know how special she is. Number six, if you wouldn't say it to a son, don't say it to your daughter. Number seven, when she comes to you with a problem, don't tell her to go to her mother. Listen, because she'll come back to you. Number eight, tell her that the only person that's in charge of what happens to her body is her. And don't talk about other women's bodies demeaning, because she's listening and she's thinking, is that really what he's saying to me? Number nine, tell her that the only man in her life is you until the wedding rings on her finger. Tell her that you love her. Give her lots of hugs. And who cares what other people think? She needs a good hug. She needs a father's hug. Tell her that you love her. Give her lots of hugs. Embrace her warmly. Let her know that no matter what, you'll always be there. And if you lead by example, you won't need to scare the boys away or tell them about a shotgun. She'll want better. And if her heart should break, make yourself available to her and she'll never go back to him. And number 10, most girls end up marrying someone like their dad. So make sure you lead her spiritually. Let her see you read your Bible. Let her see you pray and seek God. She will look for a man the same. Now, a father with a son. And you know, I really encourage men. It's a bit of a different morning here. I want to really encourage men that there's one book that I think you should all read, and it's called Wild at Heart by John Eldridge. See, to be a good Christian, godly man, you don't have to lose your masculinity or your adventurous spirit. Before the Industrial Revolution, commonly men would work, and fathers and sons would work together. They'd work on the farm or they'd work in the business together. You know, actually, Claude worked with Dad, and that's why he's just got so many great qualities, Dad. He's such a good man because he's worked with you. And I hope I get brownie points for this right now. Right. He learned from the best, right? I'm the daughter-in-law, right? I'm the one that you love the most, right? Yeah. But, you know, before the Industrial Revolution, fathers and sons worked very closely together. It was in those settings dads could teach their sons practical lessons as well as the lessons of leadership, protection and provision expected of manhood. And today things are different. Today, because of work and school and sports and different interests, fathers and sons are in separate directions. So dads, you actually have to be intentional when you're training and leading your son. You've got to teach your son how to model manhood, to teach industry and resourcefulness. And you've got to be intentional. Maybe like you could do Manhood Mondays and just have times where you teach them how to do things. Or it could just simply be on-the-job training when you're doing a task or you're doing a job or you're doing chores or something. It's like teaching your sons, training them to be resourceful, teaching them how to model manhood well. Because what matters the most is taking the time to build a legacy with your sons. So you need to be intentional. So I've put down 10 basic life lessons for a boy. And you can keep your masculinity and your manhood, even though I'm sharing it, right? Number one, tell your son to read good books because leaders are readers. Number two, tell your son to work hard to prepare for the future. Build your business before you build your house. Good planning and hard work will lead to successful life. Number three, encourage your son to play a sport and how to be a good sport even if he loses. Because it's preparation for loss in work or relationships down the track. Number four, encourage your son to play an instrument because it actually teaches them discipline. Number five, teach your son to use basic tools like a hammer, a saw, a wrench, Jordan, a screwdriver. A room. Geordie's very good at lots of things. Not that. Teach your son how to jumpstart a car, how to change a wheel, how to build a fire. fire, how to camp out, how to pitch a tent, how to light up and cook a good barbecue, how to carve a roast. Teach them to be adventurous but wise in what they do. Amen? Amen. Number six, show your son how to be a gentleman, how to treat a woman, how to open a door, stand when a woman approaches at a dinner table, how to respect the elderly, stand up on a bus for a female, please, how to be a true gentleman. Number seven, teach your son how to manage money, show generosity and learn basic saving and investing. Number eight, show them how to shake a hand strong and well and look the person eye to eye. I know this might be a given for some, but you know, this has been lost in society. No, show a man how you can give a man a real hug. Skip the side hug, that's just for men and women, but how to give him a real hug with the eagles wide out and just give him a good man hug, amen? Arr, you know, that kind of hug. Yeah. You got me to do Father's Day, all right? Number nine, teach him how to keep a promise and serve others. And number 10, lead your son on how to be a spiritual leader in their home, in their future home, and the responsibility that it is to be a spiritual head of a home. This is the basic needs of a father raising up healthy children, both spiritually, emotionally, sexually, in every aspect. But I understand this, there is no perfect father. There is no perfect natural father because there's no perfect human. And so, but we do have this, we have a perfect heavenly father. Yeah. And our two fathers were designed to operate as a team together. Because in Genesis, we read this in chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God made Adam in his image. Then he commanded him to have children, to be fruitful and multiply. You see, we see here that fathers are image bearers of God to their children. It's powerful, isn't it? God created fathers so they could have an image bearer before every child on the face of the earth. And the number one role of a father is to lead his child into an understanding of who God is. Fathers, you are image bearers of God to our children. It's linked together as a team. You are linked together as a team with your heavenly father. Unfortunately, Adam rebelled and that marred the image of God, Cain and Abel, and to all the children after that. And by Genesis chapter 6, the world had become corrupt. But we read the last words in the Old Testament in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 to 6, where it says, in the last days, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. See, God bridges the gap, the old and the new, between the law of truth and grace through Jesus Christ. Amen? So Jesus makes this profound statement in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. He said this, but you, when you pray, go into your room and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father sees in secret will reward you openly. See, in the Old Testament, God was behind curtains and on a mountaintop. In the New Testament, Jesus came in to the sermon on the mount and transformed the whole world with one word, Father. That was the word Jesus used in the New Testament that had not been heard before. See, God is an intimate, loving Father. He's an intimate, loving Father. Our God is a God of restoration and reconciliation, bringing hope and restoration into our families and into the fathering spirit. See, if you are a blended family here, the children in your care, first and foremost, are God's children. He's entrusted them to you. You know, I'm so thankful that, you know, when I met Claude, I had two children. And so we are a blended family, but we've never seen it that way, because when we got born again, the revelation came to Claude. He said, because you know what? These are God's children first, and he's entrusted me to help raise them. And so we've never seen it that way, because they are God's children first, and he's given them to us on loan to leave a legacy. I want to share this because it's really important. I don't want to forget single mums here, because it's so important, and single parents, but in particular mums today. I want to encourage you that our Heavenly Father is the gap filler. There's many accounts we see in the Bible, old and new, where, you know, mothers and grandparents were used to shape sons. He used it with Timothy. Timothy's father was a Greek man. No offense to Greeks. But, you know, they were the ones that were godly and raised Timothy up. And both King Josiah and the prophet Jeremiah were unafraid of obedience at a very early age. And it's interesting to read that in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1 and 2, when I read this, it was just powerful. Here, Josiah's mother was mentioned immediately after he was made the new king. See, it says here in that chapter, it says Josiah was only 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 31 years, and he did good in the sight of God. He was a good king. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Immediately after he was made king, his mother's name was mentioned. How powerful is that? In spite of her husband's incredible failure as the king of Judah, because Josiah's father was an evil king, she led her son in the ways of the king David, Hezekiah, and their God. See, the first thing that King Josiah did when he became king was repair the temple, a dwelling place of the Lord. The first thing he did was repair the house of God. Now, I want to tell you, when you fully immerse yourself in the house of God, in the family of God, there is a fathering spirit that flows out, and God is able to fill in the gaps and bring right role models around your children, because it takes a whole village to raise a child. Amen? There's a fathering spirit that takes place because we are in the kingdom of God. That's why today is about honouring two fathers, our Heavenly Father and our earthly father. But it must continue every day. We must leave a legacy for the generations ahead of honour and respect and the God-ordained institute of fathering within the family unit. The fathering spirit is what will bring revival into our family and into our society. Amen.
This is the end of the podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au or call us on 9524 5055.